Are we live? We should be live right now. And pardon the disorientation right now. Tim is, we don't have our music intro because Tim is attending a session for a brother who needs our support, needs our men's group support. So everybody's down there and I'm left to man the fort with the radio program. So good morning to everyone. And I'm hoping Tim's going to dub in, I think, before he goes into session. So just bear with us for a minute, and then we'll get this thing situated and get everything straightened out. Hello there. I hear someone dubbing in. I'll repeat that. Right now, Tim is, I think he's going to handle the switchboard, but he's in midstream right now, attending an event for a brother who needs our support as our men's group. So we probably have a lot of the brothers down there at his session. So hopefully Tim will identify himself, and then we can know that we're on point to proceed. So bear with us just for a couple of minutes. Matter of fact, is anyone in within earshot? Can you speak up to let me know that there's a connection, please?
Good morning, my brothers. This is Karina Moon in Sacramento.
Oh, okay. Good. Right on.
Then here come my blessings. Ain't no need for stressing in my life. My enemies, they might form weapons, yeah. But I know I'm protected by the blood, protected by the love of God. Grace and mercy, all his favor, take me higher, just like that skyscraper. And every time I turn on,
look at God,
he's making a way.
God be the glory. I'm going to be in court with Brother Johnny. But the topic today was, why doesn't black people support each other, and why do we have a hard time to get a good turnout? I'm going to pass it over to Mr. Marvell. I'll be watching the phone line, but I'm in court with Brother Johnny, supporting one of our brothers. Peace and blessings. Marvell? Everybody's phone line open.
Yeah, I had outlined that earlier. I would be there as well if it weren't for the responsibility here, because we had to keep the order here as best possible. We don't want interruptions, but hopefully that situation is going to work out in regard to having men there to support what the concern is, and we're just trusting that it's going to work out. And I want to respond, first of all, before we open the lines and everybody identifies themselves, is that my personal perspective about the tune we just heard says, look at God. And I've heard that adage used when something happens. They say, or something, you know, some accomplishment happens. I hear people say, look at God. My perspective is that I see God in everything I see. And that's thing, animal, mineral, whatever. I see God in everything. And, you know, it's kind of easy for me to take that position, because if it weren't for a loving, caring, and all-powerful God, none of this, matter of fact, the orbs that I use and the system that I use to be able to see, I have to look at God and thank God for that ability that has been provided for us. So I just wanted to add that, because that's a good song, but I heard people use it kind of like sparsely, saying look at God after something happened. They say, oh, look at God, you know, and I'm saying, oh, I'm looking, every time I open my eyes, I'm looking at God. So let's open up the lines. And furthermore, I'm at a disadvantage right now, because I was on the road and I was trying to get back to my perch, because I just picked up my other car. I had some work done on the car, and I was driving this rental car, and I had to turn it in and get my vehicle and try to get back in time, and things didn't work out as smoothly. So I'm stopped right now at a parking lot to do the intro, but maybe I'll just sit here. It's not a bad spot, so I'll just sit here. But it might be a little something. I'm going to keep myself muted, too, because there's a lot of cars going by. Anyway, good morning to our faithful contributors and our family, and good morning to the general population who tunes in, and we certainly appreciate your audience. And we appreciate your participation, and we'd like to check in with everyone who is willing to speak and identify themselves, starting with
Grand Rising, Kings and Queens. It's a beautiful morning. And as you were saying, look at God, you know, we take God for granted. And God is in every living thing. Although we give much respect and appreciate the things that are not living, such as these cars, houses, jewelry, different stuff, but we need to respect each other. People, these are things of God. We look at each other, we're looking at God, because we're all made in His image. I digress.
Well said.
Double R in the car, top of the top, my black
Double
family.
R.
No reparations, no vote. Hey, and I like that. Don't look. The Bible say, don't look to the left or right. Look up, in all things. I yield.
Yes, sir.
First Lady of Radio, Clarice. Good morning. Top of the morning to all
good
of
morning.
You.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Right on.
That's all.
Good morning to all. This is Rev. And that song reflects to what I try to say at the beginning or the end of everything I say with a lot of people. It's God's plans. We can all bicker all day about what we want to do, and our opinions are just what it is. When God's plans come to be, that's what I'm on. I yield. God bless you all.
Good morning. This is Queen Amina, South Sacramento.
Good morning.
Right on. I was waiting for you. I was waiting for you to dub on in. She already called me and told me she's gonna be here briefly. So I was waiting for her to come on. There's a lot of voices I'm not hearing. I got a call from Money Griff in midstream while I was trying to get online, so I didn't answer it. And I'm hoping that he'll come on in too, because I talked to him yesterday and asked him why he wasn't coming in. He said, you know, he had some concerns to address, and that was, you know, that's understandable. And so he said he would be in today, so I'm hoping he'll come on in too. Old Joe, when I say old Joe, I mean just a soldier. You know, he's a veteran, a veteran soldier. Matter of fact, he's not a soldier; he's an officer. And I was looking for him. So, you know, there's certain people that when they're not on, you kind of like you wonder what's going on. So that's why I called Griff yesterday. I told you I was going to call him to find out. Because, see, well, I'm going to tell you something I've observed, too, is that you can have relationship with people and you can communicate with them. You can interact with them. However, there's a situation with my situation. I have a buddy in Cleveland that if something were to happen to him, I don't know how I would find that out. Because if we don't have like a, you know how you fill out these things, forms with the doctor, and the doctor say contact person, you know, who to contact if something they need to use to get a third party. Well, I try to do that with my friends, right? Like, okay, well, who's the contact person? If something were to happen that I need to know about, who would apprise me of that, right? And I found out about Money Griff yesterday. I said, well, man, if something were to happen to you, how would I find out, right? So that's just a little tidbit for us to consider when we have people that we're interacting with, but we don't have a third party that could give us the details if something were to happen, because we want to be able to pour in and support. If someone goes into the hospital or has some sort of tragedy, right, where they're not able to communicate, well, we need people to be able to share that with us so that we could be prayerful, hopeful, and supportive of that. I don't know if anybody agree with me on that. Huh?
I do
100%. Because for this last few days, I've been really thankful that I'm connected with certain people. Two people out of my little group, both of them homeless. So they ain't got no way of really having a third party. So when I can run across them, or if they happen to keep a cell phone, or I give them my business card, tell them to write my number on a wall just to be able to call me sometime, tap back in. Two of them are on the suicide watch. One just came out of the hospital last night. She's like, I'm all right. I'm like, shoot, you should let me kill you. Quit wasting time. Don't do it, do it. And then I know people, they call out for crying help when they get in those positions. I did it years ago. Mine was a call out for help because I was sick and I couldn't deal with it. Fell into the streets and couldn't deal with it. On my way to Tahoe, I was going to drive off the cliff. My sister said, what are you doing? Just going to turn around, because all you're going to do is be stuck in one of them trees. The helicopter's going to have to helicopter you in, and then you're going to have to come back and get some food. So you might as well just knock it off and come on back. I found that a stern way of handling somebody that's on a suicide.
Are we still there?
Yes.
I don't know what happened. Rev.
Brother Sherman,
like,
good morning.
Yeah, I was waiting. Right on. I've been waiting on you, man. What's happening?
Oh, I was just kicking it.
So you're going with us. You're going with us on the second, right? You're going with us on the second, right?
That's next
we're
month,
coming,
right?
We're going. No, yeah. Well, the second, yeah, that's next month, the second of May. We're going down to Oakland, to North Oakland. I'm gonna tell you something. he told me that he told me the name of the church he'd be going to, man. And I said, hey, this the coldest name I ever heard for the church. Guess what the church's name is? Don't guess. I'll tell you. Humanity Baptist. Humanity Baptist Church. That's in North Oakland. Yeah. Humanity Baptist Church.
Huge bowling alley.
Oh, really?
I think I've been to that church.
Well, he said, okay, he said that he was at that church for Bishop Williams. He's the 89-year-old brother that comes on, right? He said he was a member of that church for 32 years, right? And he said the pastor died, and his son took over, and I guess changing the guard, things changed, and so he went to and started attending another church. But Humanity Baptist Church is where he's going to be speaking on the 2nd, and we want to make sure that we get our ducks in a row, and we get me, Mark, you, and Tim.
Yeah.
I think Mark, you committed?
Yeah.
Right, so it'll be us four at the minimum. We can get somebody else to drive down too, because I don't want, unless we're in a van or a bus, I don't want to be riding more than four deep in no car
there
with a bunch of dudes. So maybe we get somebody else to accompany us or something. Maybe we can get another vehicle and get more people, but we're going to go down there and meet and support Bishop Williams on that day. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, too. I want to meet the brother because, man, he is feisty. He's like my mom. My mom is 90. I talk to her almost every day. And when we get to talking, it's like I'm talking to, you know, a buddy, you know. But we get to kicking it, man, and she's all there, you know. It's like, well, Bishop Williams, he has his steam, so he drives his steam every time. But he calls me up. He called me up last night and was just chopping it up, breaking bread. It's a warm feeling to be able to just communicate on a person-to-person level, right, with anybody. I talked to Clarice yesterday. You know, it's just getting to be more warmer for us and more comfortable for us and easier for us to reach out to each other and share. That's what we want to promote, more of that, by demonstrating that in our forum, right? So, we stop. Tim, yeah, Ajay. So,
yeah.
Okay, so
yeah, man. I appreciate y'all, man. Just open arms for Bishop, man. The man, I'm telling you, the man got gems, man. He got wisdom. He got. Every time I see him, like I say, watch his shoes. I check his feet. Watch the shoes he got on. Always a new pair of shoes, and he be shitty sharp. I mean, I'm sorry for cussing. I'm saying, with brim on, gangster lean. I mean, the man is sharp and he got everything intact, man. Just give him a minute to get it out and he'll tell you everything. I appreciate y'all. Agape.
No, man. Hey, you know, so we recognize. You know what I'm saying? It's like we're trying to demonstrate the same thing to our young people, you know, to recognize and have reverence for those predecessors who've gone through and made it to the other side and can give a good sound report, right? So we recognize, man. I ain't got no qualms about it. Going down to meet the brother, you know. And then he be talking millions. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna put $2 million. I'm gonna give RRR $2 million. I'm gonna give Marvell and Tim. Oh, y'all got $2 million. I said, oh, man, look, hey, I appreciate you even thinking like that. You know, we don't know what's going to happen, but I trust that the brother, if everything worked the way he plans to work or he got a design to work, I trust that he's going to do everything that he said he's going to do. And so it just creates a warm feeling. And like I say, you know, we're getting, as we keep growing in this process, we're learning. As we go, this is an on-the-job training system. This is an OJT that we're on, right? Learning how to communicate with each other, trust each other, Go ahead. Who is that?
That's Rev.
Is that somebody else? Oh, what are you trying to say?
I'm just saying Ashe, like I agree.
Oh, okay,
that we
yeah.
should all come that we should all come together, that we should all communicate to one another just like brothers and just like sisters, calling each other on a regular basis, checking in on people, especially if you got them locally and you're sociable. We should all be tapping in like that, but I don't find that overall, which is okay. Sister Michelle, she's supposed to be coming by today, pick me up. I guess
here.
I can meet up with
Ada
Michelle. I know. That don't mean I can't hang. I know. I'm just announcing your
okay,
name.
Okay, now, hold on. Come on. Cause Michelle, let Michelle check in first.
Wow, okay.
Yes. Good morning, you guys. I'm checking in. I've been multitasking all this morning. So everything is going as planned. And so after the show, then we'll figure out where we need to be at. Ashe.
Yeah. I ain't eight either. I ain't eight since yesterday. No, I had to cave in last night. When you called, I said, oh, man, okay. Well, I'm going to eat now, you know. But I was waiting because you done pumped it up. You had me looking for macaroni and cheese and all that stuff.
I didn't say no macaroni and cheese. I didn't say that.
No, potato salad. How was that potato salad?
Oh, that's right. Oh, Dick, I was confused her with the young chef. He made the macaroni and cheese, man, Lord have mercy. But I'm looking for the potato salad. I'm looking for the marinated chicken. It's been marinated overnight. I'm ready for all of that. You hear me? So
yeah, barbecue
hey, as soon as this program over, we're going to get them ducks in the row as soon as this program is over. Because I ain't even drank a cup of coffee this morning. I'm ready. All right. So Rev, yeah, I'm feeling you, man. Yeah, every time you come on, I feel your, you know, what you're feeling of like set apart, you know, and I understand that, and I appreciate how that affects one, you know, just now. See, what I attempt to practice and what I suggest is that. When you go somewhere, if it's something you want to experience, bring it with you. Bring it with you so that you can have it, even if somebody else got it, and you can demonstrate it so somebody else might like it. So, you know, it's like,
no,
you know,
I'm
reach
doing
out
like everybody else
is. It's a reach out. You know what, sir?
I try my best to reach out. Okay, like me and you, we went for a ride that day, Marvell. We got connected for, about an hour. And after that, I didn't hear from you. So I'm calling you trying to find out still yet. What's going on? Are you trying to do something with that or not? It's okay. So like I said, I see who reaches out. Double R, that man hit me about 5 or 6 in the morning with a scripture just for me to wake up to a different thought. I appreciate you. So everybody else, like I say, that's local that I've shook hands with, I smiled in your face. And everything else, I just don't get it. Michelle hits me away from North California. She hit me last night. I was going to let her sleep in the limo because she requested. So I get beside people. If they need me, I'm here. If not, I can't do nothing. Other than that, I'll stay in the bushes. So I'm asking people to tap in. I'll tap in with you. I'll bug you every day if you think of the bugging anyway. But I will because that's the type of person I am. My phone hit a text, I'll respond. My phone hit a call, I'll pick it up. So if it don't, then I weigh the scales on it all. I hear who's communicating. I hear who's the favorite. Don't you know how much that drives a person crazy when they ride around the corner or right up the street or across the town, especially when it's supposed to be a team? If I had my limousine, you wouldn't
you know,
be asking, we got something that rolls four. Hold on. If we would have something that rolls bigger than four deep, I'd be good. I got a limousine that sees 12 people. You seen it when you came over here. Sees 12
yeah,
people.
I saw that.
If it could have been insured,
yeah.
Hold on, don't jump in. Yeah, if it could have been insured, we could have been making money off of my limousine right now. We could have been giving your kids a ride to wherever they want to go. We could have took this little trip because I would have drove or you could have drove. I don't care who drive that thing. If you can drive it, drive it. I'm trying to put it up in the market right now for a partnership because I can't afford to get back out there, and that's, to me, not fair. Because, yeah, I'm walking the streets. I went to my doctor's office, and I walked all the way through downtown the other day. And that's when I ran across my homeless person. Talking about, Rev, I think I'm going to just go hang myself in private. I like, do it right here in front of me then. I want to see you dangle. My people dangle for years, a white boy. So I hit him with the hard lugs of it. So that hits me. And I got to go back home and wonder where this boy's at and wonder if he's still alive. And here I mentioned on here, and y'all jump right past that, start talking about some food. Like my opinion, my things I'm going through just don't matter. That kills me. And y'all don't care about that. That's okay, I guess. God sees it.
We care about
you, my brother.
He knows
that I'm always trying to reflect and reach out to people that don't help
me.
Marvell,
I'm going to have to dip off. I got a class. I'll talk with you later. Peace and bless.
Okay, bro. Thank you for that compliment.
God bless you.
Yeah, Reb.
No, I yield. Since Mark want to jump in and say,
yeah, man. Yeah,
okay.
Hey. I can feel that you're going through, man. And nobody going to denounce you. I just want you to consider, man, that when you might be a little bit oversensitive about some of these matters, right? That's all I want you to stop and consider, because it just seemed like.
No.
Everything is caving in on you.
Okay, you jumped up. Okay, I'm not dying without you guys. Believe that on Jesus. Put that on Jesus for me. I'm not dying without you guys. And I'm just trying to go over there and play in the playground with y'all. And y'all act like I can't be picked with a baseball, basketball, football. I've been through some of that stuff as a kid. And now I feel like I'm being treated like that as an adult. I've driven over there to the Florence Square or accommodated with my sister's car, whatever I had to do. To get on this radio to keep the little voices going. We only got 5 or 7 people on here talking. Nobody called me to check out on God's Real Talk TV to see what Rev is doing over there. Come on now. Or what is Rev really doing in the community?
Lay it out. I think if you lay it out a little more, you know, like do the same system that you're talking about, the phone system, lay it out, text the information, because, you know, that. I try to write down everything, because retaining information, man, that I heard is a challenge for me, you know, and it might be the same for other folks. So I already told you, Rev, you said you was going to write out a format that I asked you about, and you know, oh, well. So the written.
I don't need to write it out overall.
I didn't interrupt you, Rev.
Yes, you did, but go ahead.
All right, let's move on to some other. We got another subject matter to address anyway. And guess what it is?
Of course.
Tim said he wants to know why it is that we have such a difficult time working together and communicating with each other. That's what he
That's
asked
what I just
to
mentioned.
Address.
That's the problem right there. Just mention it. Can't call me. I can't work with you. And I can work from afar. You can put me on Zoom. You can put me on a speakerphone like you told me you was going to do one of them other times, Marvell, when you went out. You said you're going to put me on speakerphone while you and your friend was going, and you thought you might be able to come by and all this stuff, but you didn't. So it's like, how can I work together if y'all ain't working with me? I ain't going to just call one way. I don't do that. If a phone call ain't coming my way sometime,
man.
A while ago you had
it,
a gentleman
I
pick you up.
I did a road trip to come pick you up and all that. You know, I don't get it. Why are you using that? I know.
I'm talking about before that.
I don't understand.
You rode around with some guy and you mentioned
Rev,
I'm just elaborating on what Tim is saying.
Could you calm down? Could you calm down a little?
I am calm.
No, you're not. No, you're. All right. Well, let's take a poll with our regular listeners. Do y'all feel that this is a calm and easy, smooth conversation that y'all hearing?
Hey, double R, let me get in on this. Let me get in on this. We just started with the song. Look at God. Look at God. Don't look to the left or right. Look up, man. Stop being so sensitive on your problems, your issues. Ain't nobody.
I hear you, brother.
I yield.
I hear you, brother. Yield it then.
Right. So that's all I'm saying, man, is that.
Marvell.
Okay, go ahead, Sherman. Yes, ma'am.
First Lady of Radio. I just wanted to say to Rev, you know, we understand, I understand. You know, one thing I learned is that when I feel that you're in a process of healing. And when you're healing, it's best not to say a whole lot. Save all that energy for that healing process, because God is going to bring you out. And there are people waiting to help you. But you got to go through those emotions, those processes, and people kind of back off a little bit to give you space and give you time to go through the different changes, the personalities. You're in pain, but you're going to come out okay, because if God gave you what you're doing, you need not worry about it. Just relax. You know, we're there for you. In every way, I help you whatever way that I can. You know, you talk about the gardening, you talk about different things. I'm waiting to see something down on paper myself. But again, I'm not going to go on and on. I just want to know, Clarice, First Lady of Radio, I support you. I am prayer for you. Hope and wish, pray the best for you. And it's going to be all right, because if God is on your side, who can be against you?
I'm not worried about nobody being against me. I know my enemies in town. I felt that this is a group, First Lady, that would come to arrest you. I joined a men's healing circle. I didn't plan on being on this radio. I didn't plan on going to the men's collaborative. None of that stuff. Almost got ripped off in the collaborative. But, like, I'm looking at certain things, I'm weighing it. Almost bamboozled with my limo service through the collaborative. So, like, I'm weighing my circle of what's going on. Because I'm tired. I've been doing this for 13 years. Ain't nobody that's known me, announced me for doing this, or helping me doing that. I am going only for what God's doing me. I run Prayer and God Ministry, Homeless for Heaven, God's Children, Live Matter, and Rev's Healing Foundation. That's why people call me when they need me, and it's fine. Or I run across them when they need me, that's fine. But when I'm looking for somebody to call me just like a pastor or bishop, they need a prayer too. You kidding me? They need to be talked to also. And I went on the radio and I got into tears because I know I got a mental condition. I couldn't prove it till now. I got a little bipolar, they say. A little ADHD, they say. A little anxiety, a little depression, a little all this good stuff, mood swings. So what? I give it all to God. But when I call people and they supposed to be my, what, friend? Ain't nobody but acquaintances on here. I understand that part. Facebook, I got about 4,000 or 5,000 so-called friends. They don't tap me every day. I get that. But when I'm calling and accommodating you every day on your radio station, which is giving you better numbers behind the scenes, I should get a call. I ain't looking for no paycheck. I'm looking for a free AT&T reach out. Text message. Double R, I'll still give it to you, but don't jump on me no more, bro, because we'll jump on each other on the phone all day. Because I don't like hearing the humble in the morning and you want to be on their side or anything. I don't care. Don't give your voice opinion. I wouldn't do you. If you want to talk for an hour, I wouldn't do you. I'll let you talk. Because you must have something that's weighing on your heart. And you know I have. So I'm just trying to keep it amongst the family right now. Reach out to Rev. Rev will blow your phone up if you tap me once. Tap me once. And I ain't going to hit you with all the rah-rah. I'm trying to let you know what I'm doing and how you can be a part of it. I don't want to do what I'm doing alone. I yield.
Forever.
So, good morning. May Queen Amina say something?
Yes, she may.
What I found, and the last thing my brother just said, W-A-N-T.
He looks like his dad.
Want.
Paul.
What I've learned is when I stop doing or trying to manifest what I-W-A-N-T, it works a lot better. The Buddha says, because it's not just Jesus Christ, we've got all these different dogmas and religions, and all they are set up and designed to do is to help you walk the journey of life and to give you some tools. So the Buddha said, the pain and the misery of all mankind is caused by W-A-N-T, want. So, with that being said, I don't have an expectation of anybody assisting me on this journey that I feel I've been given a mission by my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is to feed. Matthew 17, faith of a mustard seed. All I got is some greens. Anybody hungry, I can cook you some greens. I have a safe space. I pride myself on having a safe space, but I don't advertise that out. I don't advertise it out. I'm not licensed. I'm not, I ain't nothing.
but an elder in the community that was trained up under BTU, which is Baptist Training Union, in the Esther and the Ruth circles. Those are service circles. And I got this all from my mom. And it goes back to Jim Crow and the Green Book. We couldn't go everywhere and get a hotel and get a meal. We had to go through the back door. So the people in the community did come together. And they did come together through church because that was the organized office or the physical building where people could meet up and have a conversation. But to get it back to where we are right here, right now, I can be of service through giving you a meal. I got greens. I'll go right out here and pick them. I have a safe space. That just means that you're in trauma, you're in crisis, you tired, you can come to my house without a conversation, and you can get a roof from this hailstorm we had yesterday. I've got a little house with a candle out there, like Motel 8. We keep the light on. So I put this little candle house outside, and I light a candle every night. They will be known by their works. You can find me with a lighted candle at night on this other little table. Marvell, you know I got this little table at my door. It's got this little house with a candlelight. It's got this little wire sculpture of a cup, a hot steaming cup. It's got a little chef in it, and I have my saber knife at the front door. So it means shelter, food, and safety. You can know them by their work. I have a light. So I don't want and I don't have an expectation. I do what I do. My brother, I understand you. I got all them conditions that you got. And until I just gave them up and quit dwelling on them or had an expectation of assistance, I ain't bipolar no more. My ADHD has calmed down. My anxiety has totally gone away. I refuse to take a pill. I just refuse to take them pills. Them pills had me crazy. I went to my doctor when I came from St. Louis out of domestic violence. I had a brown bag full of pills. I found the first black doctor in Sacramento and asked him to refill my pills. He said, I ain't doing that because I don't make junkies. I don't make drug addicts. Until you learn how to deal with your stress, you will continue to have that headache, that stomach ache, that backache, and you're going to put more lines of frown in your young face because you're angry. Work it out. Whatever it was, your parents, the environment, your brother, somebody, your husband, whatever. Learn how to deal with your stress and let it go.
I want to say something before I get off again. I want to say something. You know, I've been a loner all my life. I didn't like being alone till after God saved me. Once God saved me, then I understood about being alone. Jesus was alone. Moses was alone. Although there were people around him, people were still alone. Lord was alone. We have to learn to deal with self. Like, just like the sister said, we have to learn to deal with self. And being alone, you don't have to worry about nobody pissing you off or nobody pissing on you. You got to learn to get along with self. I love myself now. I love my peace. And that's the most time you'll find your peace is when you're alone. I'm going to digress
exactly.
And get back to this class.
But I agree on all that. I agree on both sides of both of you guys.
Okay,
listen,
hold on for a second. We need somebody to mute. We need somebody to mute because we got a lot of distortion in the background. Sometimes somebody washing dishes or doing something like that. So if you don't mind, everybody mute and just allow whoever has the floor to have the mic. Right on. Okay, so let's culminate. We're having people sharing their angst, right, about what's going on and what they want to happen. Then we have people who are saying that want is a concern and expectation is a concern, because it's a deterrent. It causes disruption. It causes more anxiety a lot of times, right, when we have expectations of other people and not trusting God. I asked everyone to mute. However, yes, so, okay, hopefully. So we're getting perspectives that say that it's kind of important to stand back and do an assessment, right, of what the best interest is. And if expectation is not, then maybe curtail the expectation. If wanting something that from someone else is a challenge, then, you know, let's look at it. Because although I relate to a lot of things that's being shared, I personally, you know, because I'm a set aside individual myself, right? I mean, you know, I don't get social calls. I don't get people calling up hollering saying, "Hey, man, how you doing?" I don't get that from my family. Last week, everybody was at the house, and my mama told me, "Oh, everybody will be over here, and when they get here, I'll tell them to call you up." I didn't get a call, and all the family members were there. I could be talking to my mom, and all the family members will be there, and they'll know that I'm talking to her on the phone, and nobody says, "Hey, Marvell." So that set aside part, I done got with, right? I done got with that. People don't call me up socially. I don't get the, "Hey, how you doing?" You know, I'm just calling to check in. I don't get that. So I used to be sensitive about it, but now I recognize that if I have a mission, if I have been salvaged for a mission and an assignment, and my anointment is carrying me through that, that's good enough for me. My anointment is carrying me through my assignment, and that's good enough for me. You know, I'd like to have more sociability. I'd like to have more of that consideration that says, "Hey, man, I was just thinking about you." But guess what? Because I may be how I am, people don't even be concerned about it, because they probably feel like I'm all right no matter what. I'm all right. I don't need to check on him. He's all right. Maybe they see more in me than I might feel myself. So we're getting a lot of good input on how to address, you know, the concerns that we have, the personal concerns we have, so that we can stay rooted in the Spirit of God and let that Spirit take us where we're supposed to be in our venture to make things better for each other. So back to the theme. The theme that Tim brought to the forefront was, why is it that we have such a difficult time working together and getting along? Not, you know, that's a good question, and we've been kind of delving into that lightweight, well, really kind of heavyweight, for the last half hour. So let's get some solutions about why it is that we struggle to work together and communicate well together. Anybody got any theories on that?
I do.
No, wait, somebody else, Rev. Somebody else, please. Go ahead, Mama Chop.
I just really want to say, oh, my goodness. We all think that somebody owes us something. Nobody owes us anything other than our breath. You cannot take my breath away. But other than that, why are you expecting or want somebody to give you something? No. If you quit thinking, if you quit thinking somebody owes you something, because I don't
nobody
know
owe me nothing.
Calls either. Nobody owes me nothing. Whatever I get is through the grace of God. And he gave all this air, this sun, this water, these seeds. That is it, and that is all. You are a seed. Bloom where you are planted. Think globally. Act locally. You are not a superhero to go out here and save everybody. You are an action figure. Take an action. So my call to action to you, be by yourself. Love yourself. That's when you hear the spirit and the word and the voice. Don't want a whole bunch of friends around you. They taking up your brain space, time, and energy. I'm a loner. I have 7 brothers. I got 15.5 billion cousins, and I've always felt alone because all they want to do is gossip. They want to do something other than what the assignment is. So I don't do social calls because I don't want to talk about nobody. I don't want to talk about how bad it is. I want a plan. I want a dream. I want a bill. So if anybody on this line is not a dreamer, a planner, or a builder, we can't have no conversation. Thank you. I'll yield and not come back in to take up any time for anybody else to express their opinions. Thank you so much, my family.
Man, no.
Just double up. Get in on this.
Double up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have to part of where, and the question is why we can't work together. It's because we got our antennas up on a lot of people. We are a little sketchy on people. A lot of people talk that talk, but they don't walk that walk. You know, you're going to talk about me being humble. I'm a very humble man, and I got patience. I sent scriptures before. My 10 toes touch the ground every damn day.
Amen.
If you're going to say that I'm not humble, you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself, because you talk about, you have a song on there talking about leaned on him. You leaning on me.
I say that's because man is supposed to be the ones that we lean on. God is not going to physically come down here and send a Jesus Christ for him to walk us through this valley of the shadow of death. Okay, period. He's not going to do that. So therefore, when a person brings up a topic, and I reflect around the topic that we're supposed to come together and get along, that's what my topic was. I jumped in right where I fit in. And I'm feeling like I don't get along with y'all. It's okay. I'm going to stay on the radio. I'll still throw in my little 2 cents or my quarter. But at the same token, I'm trying to build friendship. And I got a lot of acquaintanceship, which is okay. It's still a ship. It ain't sunk. So this is where I'm at. And I do walk alone. I've been walking all along my whole life. But when God woke me up, I could have been in a church, a big church. I could have had my own church. I don't want that. I don't want the same people walking up, smiling in my face, acting like they care every Sunday. I'd rather catch them strange on the street like I do. It's a big smile. It's a loving smile. Whatever the case may be, and my conversation be great by myself. I don't witness to nobody with nobody. But when I'm on the line spoke about us coming together. How can we do that? If we don't communicate outside of this 2 hours, it's just like going to church on Sunday. We only get one day a week or a certain time of the day to communicate. But if we got things outside the sidebar, we should be calling each other on that. Marvell, you like something I said, so we sidebar and we drove all the way across town to look at this building I had my eyes on. Amen. Michelle, you supposed to come down here to see me? You did or don't? I don't care. I'm not going to die without nobody. I'm just trying to build a body. I had a conversation with the disciple Mark saying, again, I need to get disciples. You don't need no disciples. Yes, I do. Jesus had some. I have friends that I can call every day, and one of them is part owner of that Florence Square building, Mr. King. I call that man every day. He blow up my phone more than I do. And he's helped me. That's why I'm on here, because he put together my nonprofits. He put together all my LLCs totally for free. Know that word, free? He did it totally for free. I paid for my paperwork, but he done all the paperwork himself for free. And paid for all of one personally. God's Children Live Matters more owned to him by me. Because he said, Rev, I believe in that
all
one.
Right.
You gotta do that one. But okay, I
say. Okay, I say, man. Yeah. Because you kind of hoarding up airtime, man. We're not bickering at all about any of these issues. You're interrupting, Rev. Are you going to do that now?
You did it to
all right, so I'm feeling like, but Rev, if I don't stop you, you won't stop.
I said it at the same time you did.
Yeah, if I don't stop you, you won't stop. So, and
maybe
I'm not stopping you to do anything but urge you to just be mindful of the information that's being shared with you, you know, because it seems like you're working so hard to be understood that you're not giving any energy to understanding. People are pouring in from where they sit, saying to you that you reach out to them and they'll respond to you. Nobody owes you voluntary assistance. Nobody owes you that. You reach out and you'll get a response. Just like every time you reached out to me, you've gotten a response. And I would dare to say most people that you've reached out to, you've gotten a response. It might not have been the one that you wanted, or might not have been the time that you wanted it, but you got a response. So just keep reaching, and then with the fair anticipation that you're dealing with people who are moving toward righteousness. We ain't righteous. We're moving toward it. We're OJT. Mm-hmm. This is on-the-job training, right?
Amen.
So everybody is learning as we go. But sometimes it seems like some of us are not getting the message that's necessary to keep going forth.
Amen.
So I'm not going back and forth with you. I'm not going back and forth with you, Rev, about what we're talking about. I want to hear from somebody else who's talking about why, what is their theory about why it's so difficult for us to work together and communicate well together. I want to hear somebody else's perspective. See, there you go with that kind of stuff. See, I knew he was going to do that. I knew he was going to do that.
You did.
I knew that. I knew that. I knew he was going to do that.
Double R speak. Double R speak. Now, let's get it with you. You said communication is the key. If two people can't communicate right, you ain't going to want to keep dealing with this person because he don't know how to communicate. Now, Rev, I can go back to sidebarring and I can blow you up real quick on this show. But don't try and come over here and sabotage nothing.
Call me.
That's evil. That's demonic.
Call me.
Now, who want to work with you when you want to demonic and sabotage things? Just because you
Rev ain't sabotaging nothing. Ain't no progress stopped at all, period, because of Rev.
Hey, man,
Rev ain't jumped in the middle of nothing that stopped anything. I answered.
I gave you the conversation back about how can we get along.
How can we really get along to get the stuff going? It's a full-on collaboration, conversation.
Rev.
It just seemed like
you're not willing to even look at yourself, man. That's what it seemed like. You seem like you're looking at all the externals, but you're not looking at yourself, man. You're not coming off with the Spirit of God in this exchange. And I swear to you, I was sitting here thinking, another 2 seconds, and I'm going to hear from Rev making folly out of the fact that there's some airtime that you don't have. You seem to think that if you ain't talking, that it's going to be a dead air, and that's not true.
No,
we don't really need you on this format, Rev. I hope you're going to understand that. We work with you and we tolerate a lot of stuff coming from you because you admitted that you have some concerns, right? You admitted that, and I've told you I want to help. You get to talk with somebody, and I talk to you about that when we rode together. I said, man, do you think it might be strategic for you to talk to somebody, get some counseling, right, on the areas that you are weak in, right? Because you have some strengths, but you allow your weaknesses to overcall your strengths. And it's really evident when you come on here with the attitudes that you have. So, Rev, I hope that we can move on and get more perspective coming from other people about the subject and not make this the Rev show. Because, well, I'm not going to keep going back and forth with you, Rev, and I hope that you won't keep interrupting people and interjecting about a subject matter that just only you that can deal with. We tried what we could, and we poured in what we could, and we showed understanding and when we could, but that's not enough for you. So it seems like it's going to be on you, Rev, you and the God that you trust to work things out. So that when you present yourself again, you'll sound like you have some humility. So, ladies and gentlemen, the subject matter once again is why is it that we have such a hard time? Why do we have such a hard time getting things done together? That's a strong question. This has got a lot of theories that's going to be attached to it. And I'll tell you what I'll tell you what I think. I think that trauma, so well steeped in our experience, is so very deep that every time we make an effort to pull close, start getting suspicious of how good that feels. How good that feels. Like when I had these conversations, you know, I feel good. When Tim called me up, it was raining yesterday, and Tim called me up, and Tim was warm, and Tim was joyful. Tim said, man, you know, it's raining out there. He said, and I don't care. He said, that ain't bothering me no. He said, I'm still riding off of the session that we had the night before in the men's healing circle because the Spirit of God was up in there, right? So I think that wow. I'm sitting in the parking lot. This dude's just backing up with his truck. I just got my car quick fixed, and he looks like he's trying to wreck it again. He got it right. Okay. So I think that as we experience joy and experience warmth with each other, the suspicion kicks in, oh, I know something's going to happen. And it might be like me when I was coming up. I used to sabotage my good fortune because I was so anticipatory that something was going to happen and I didn't want it to happen from somebody else outside of me, so I wanted to be responsible for it. I didn't want somebody else to do it. I didn't want somebody else to disappoint me. I undermined it and shut it down myself so I wouldn't have that extra pain of feeling like people let me down again. So I think that's got something, if not a lot, to do with why when we pull close and start feeling each other and start working together and feeling that there's this lingering thought, oh, something's going to happen. Well, it's going too smooth. Something's going to happen. And that's my theory.
Sherman here.
Hey, Sherman.
I think it's the boxing match with self. You're so busy about that self thing, the word I, that you can't give God time. You can't give the next guy next to you time. And there's no time for no one, you know what I mean? Because of the I time. And reminds me back when in the early 80s, I had this attorney. He was my family's attorney, and he had written a letter and kicked me out of my mom's house and all this. But I set that aside. And so there I was. Homeless, and I was walking down the street one day, and he had a new office. So I stopped by to talk to him. And so he was going through a court thing with some part of my business that he didn't explain to me. So in the end of the story, It took him down. So they sent him to prison. So in my part, I wrote the president asked for him to have an apartment, whatever happened with that company that I own. And it's scary to think that the word I was so in the thing. I mean, dude, I was homeless after this guy had, you know, had me put out of my mom's house. And the people that I had to live with in between those 4 years, dude. But anyway, so I came back to God even more than expected, I would say. But I had to remove the I thought, you know. It's not all about me. It's all about all of us working together no matter what. I yield back.
I certainly do appreciate that moral to that story, is that what it's about is fighting through and working through all of the challenges. But first we got to identify them. It wasn't not an unhealthy exchange. It just was a little bit laborious. It kind of went on and on. But it's not an unhealthy exchange for us to get a chance to see and feel what it is that's a barrier for us in our quest to become closer and become a unit. I'm on the road now. I hope this is a little sound in the background. I got a little road sound going on. Somebody else got some other kind of sound going on too, as well. But you know, these are just exercises in our emotional investments in the I that you were talking about. You know, get emotionally invested in what is about me and I, and it seems like it kind of like overshadows what we can do. What we can do. I mean, we, like, yes, like French, like we. O-U-I, we. That means yes in French. And we means collectively here in this sphere and in this country. We have to learn how to work together despite our emotions, despite our objections, despite whatever might be lingering from the trauma in the past. We'll have to fight through it and find a way to work together. That's the only way our salvation could be promised to us, is when we work together. And so whatever we got to do, keep on fighting, you know, keep on exercising beating down the challenges, and keep on having these exchanges and coming to an understanding. That's the bottom line, as far as I can see. But we are traumatized people. We the most traumatized people on this earth. And what the paradox, what the contradiction is that we're the most resilient people on this earth. We can bounce back off of a whole lot of things, but that trauma doesn't go away. We just learn how to live with it. And now we're saying we don't feel like we need any more trauma, and we don't feel like we don't have the opportunity, given the opportunity, we can heal ourselves from past trauma. Just give us what we deserve, and we'll heal ourselves. We will repair ourselves, given the wherewithal, Mark. Even the wherewithal. So there's nothing unhealthy jumping off here. You know, it's human nature. It's a human element. I just hope that we can walk away and think about it and say, what is it that I could have said that might have been a little bit more influential in that conversation to the brother or to the sister who was in the midst of their challenge. And we just got to find a way, y'all. We just got to keep finding a way.
May I add something?
Sherman here.
Yes.
Someone mentioned a candle on. Would you call that person with that candle on? I just grissed back.
Oh yeah, that's Mama Rod. She's probably she's off now. But
no,
give me a call, Sherman. Oh, okay.
I'm here. My Zoom doesn't start. Okay. My family. I love you dearly. I've done a lot of research on this because I am so traumatized by the police interaction and our culture and our history. But I don't want to go too far off on that. But I want to validate and say ashe to what you've just commented, your remarks, Marvell, because it is trauma. But I want to say to family, the trauma, I've done the research, the trauma was a business model. Not was, it is a business model. And the reason I say that, my degree, my studies is economics, history, labor, and religion, okay? I major in business with an economics minor. Business. Our trauma is a business model for economics. What does that mean? The slave trade and the identification of the labor started in the years 1000 going forward. First enslaved labor, peasants and serfs and the Europeans. Well, they didn't have the numbers, they didn't have the populations, and they resisted. So now you got to find some more labor. Fast forward, they come up to Africans going past Egypt, looking for fertile land and trade routes. Money, economics, food, agriculture. They had to find somebody that was other than them, dark-skinned people who were subjugated and looked at as less than human. They enslaved us and brought us to the Western Hemisphere to grow the food for Europe. It's a business model. And when we were emancipated, that upset the books. There was no more profit margin as they had realized it. It's a business model. So we need to forgive ourselves. We need to forgive each other. And we need to understand that this distrust, mistrust, and don't like one another is a business model to keep us divided, to continue, and I'll just go colloquial here, to pimp us. We're still being pimped because of the trauma. We've been so traumatized. You know, Black Wall Street, they blew that up. They took out the most intelligent, prosperous, progressive people on how to make money and bring ourselves up out of our conditions. They didn't want those people leading us anymore. Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, all the progressive thinkers, take out the head and you control the body. Think about it. It's a business model for labor. It's a business model to increase their profits. And it is based on trauma, traumatize the population. So it's the post-traumatic slave syndrome. And understand, do some research as to the not only the slave trade, go back before the slave trade and look at trade winds. Look at the ships going along the coast of Europe looking for trade routes for food. It's all about food. It's all about agriculture. Control the resources, you control the population. It's always been about labor, land, agriculture. So let's stop looking at each other as the problem. We didn't create this problem. We are not the problem. It's understanding the methodology. And I'll just put one more thing out there and get offline. Donald Trump, he really doesn't own anything but his name and his branding. His branding is what brings him the most money, using his name, Trump, Trump, Trump. He's underwater in everything. He doesn't have a good economic mind on how to make a profit. But he knows marketing, he knows advertising, and he knows branding. Thank you.
Not to cut you off. So Johnny just got released. He got his certificate of rehabilitation. I'm going to put him online, and they spoke highly of him, and Johnny spoke highly of the men's healing circle. So here's Johnny, y'all.
Congratulations. Praise
hey,
God.
Hello, fam.
Uncle
Johnny. It was a cool blessing. You guys had me in tears, man. With it. Thank
that's
you.
All right. Tears are good.
Making me cry. Hey, I'm talking about the judge, the DA. Man, gave it to us, man. I turned around. I couldn't take it all. I turned around and said, these are my men's right here, you know, from the healing circle. We meet and work this every week, you know. It was beautiful, man. It was beautiful. Hey, y'all, I gotta chill down some because I'm so excited right now. All right? But praise God. Thank you.
Here's We Deal. We Deal.
Love you, brother.
We
Deal. You walk through. You walk through to the light, brother. You walk through. You're here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yep. I'm right here.
Right
yep.
on, man.
Hello?
What you got to say? Yeah,
man,
we here. We listening.
This was a really great situation that happened right now for Johnny, man. I mean, for all of us, though. It's a win for everyone, you know. When one win, we all win. That's how I see it. Great. Tremendous win. The whole court applauded when he turned around. The DA got up from her seat and came and shook his hand and told him to keep working, to keep working in the community, keep God first, and keep pushing. So,
the DA.
Yeah, we yes, got up from her chair. She didn't get up the whole time. She got up for Johnny and came and talked to him face to face. This was a beautiful, beautiful situation here. Beautiful win. Wonderful situation, man. Glad we all here as a unit. You know, the men's healing circle. How we get down. So, one win, we all win. We're gonna take this win and use this as fire, and to push forward.
Right on.
I'm on my way. Back in now.
Thank you for that report.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for that report.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for that report.
Okay, man. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Right on. Okay, so did y'all, okay, so there's joy and there's unity and you can feel it and I know it's there because that's what we practice when we come together. My observation aside from that is that when he said one win, we all win. That's not a general practice I've observed. I've observed that when one wins, Some envy that win. When one wins, there are those who have envy for that win. And that's what we're struggling to fight through. Getting away from that twinge of envy instead of the congratulatory joy of seeing another advance or see another get an advantage that maybe we don't have, but if we trust the process, them getting it is going to help us get it. All right, Tim. Thank you. So when he said that kind of just it kind of hit me. When one wins, we all win. And when we get to that ideology, that's when. That's when we'll be where we're supposed to be as a group and as a people. When one wins, we all win. That was a wonderful statement to be heard. And that's what I think we'll do well to aspire to, right? Knowing that the content of character and justice, injustice anywhere and all of that, you know, that all that kind of comes to mind. An injustice anywhere is an injustice everywhere kind of thing, right? But he said it all when he said, one win, we all win. And I hope that you guys can agree with that.
I say I do. Because I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I hear you.
Well, that's exactly how I feel, and that's how I've presented it several times. Like I said, it's just I'm always in prayer about everything I say. You know, it'll reflect back in my mind. It's like, did you say something wrong? Because when you gentlemen, you was excited. Oh, and I got to tell you, do not play that commission song on the radio. That gospel rapper that produced that called me, cursing me out, blah, 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 rap. I heard you selling my music. I ain't selling nothing. Talking about. And it went way sideways.
Selling it.
So don't play that song.
He said you selling it?
He said I was selling it. And you can announce on the radio. How did you get it from me? How much did it cost you, Marvell? Did I charge you for that CD? Exactly. And
no,
I've given away about 100. I know it. I've given away about almost 200. You would think somebody that's serving God, like I said, he was supposed to be a friend of mine. And I get this out of people. They'll flare me into something. I'm like, okay, that's the devil in you right now. We all got some of that. Everybody got a snake, because ain't nobody on here got no silent, quiet tongue like they don't really get in on nobody. I really, really don't. Until you really get me there, I had to shut him down because I had to go old school, the whole Dirty Mama Joe kind of stuff. So I got him. But he called me on threat mode, wanting to beat me up because he think I'm selling this song. I'm like, no, dog. I wouldn't do that without notifying. I told him, I actually called him, I texted him, about a month ago, saying that you were the one that liked it, Marvell. Oh, Rev, I hope you ain't out there doing it. And he ain't saying nothing about it not being sold in, but he just didn't. Oh, what he told me is he took my vocals off, so he probably put somebody else on to steal my lyric of the vocals. See? Because that's how they've been doing me in this music industry. I've been ripped off so many places, that's why I'm so distrusting. All since I started serving God is when I really came into the community. So throughout school, I wasn't popular. Neighborhood, I wasn't popular. But since God woke me up, I became overnight famous. And then I got the haters on me. And that's a beautiful thing. But these are all the people I called my friends. Till I had to denounce that. Like, wait a minute, you're an acquaintance or maybe just a strict enemy. So I've been through so much. And I'm not reflecting on everybody on the radio because you don't call me and talk to Rev. No, I just like to feel when I'm saying something that is real because I'm only speaking from God's point of views. Helping homeless people, I ain't care about no homeless people. I ain't care about black people. I ain't care about nothing before God woke me up. I had that good octave of that me. And
and that was it. Ain't know about you. Care about her. None of that. History? Who? I didn't go to school for that. I want to make sure when I count my money and without subtracting it that I keep on adding more. That's honestly how I was in school. I didn't care about science, history, biology, none of that stuff. I was a trained locksmith by the time I was 11. So I already knew I could do everybody wrong. I can lock you out of your house. But I kept God's spirit with me even as a child. I wasn't out there gangbanging. I wasn't drug selling. I wasn't doing none of that, smoking nothing. I didn't start smoking weed until my mama had a stroke on me at 18. So it's a difference between me and everybody on here. Everybody on here is different. So when I'm getting touched by something that's said, what can bring us together if we play in the same game? I play the game of life, and I don't cheat. And that's how I've always been. If I'm going to play Monopoly, let's get all this stuff together. That's what I was telling my friend Wolf. That's what I was told even Fillmore Slim. Everybody I talk to, trying to find out who they are, what they got, and what they want to be. The skills, talents, goals, and dreams is all I ask out of anybody. Because that pulling my puzzle together. Our entertainment is a winner. Our political histories are people, Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, all these stuff are puzzle pieces that I had to adapt to in my life so I can bring us together with some of what I'm feeling in my spirit. Because my spirit counts just like yours. So I'm not on here to throw the radio station to denounce or nothing like that. Or not. I could have got y'all off of here in a weird kind of way. I could have put on all this stuff on God's Real Talk TV. Now you got a million viewers. Let them give their opinion. Because I get viewers on there. And I don't know why I'm not tapped in. But I've been trying on my non-educated area. Two phones. I'll let you guys talk on one phone while I'm got you on mute. I'm on my God's Real Talk TV. But one time I was on there, I cut it short because y'all got into something that I don't really get on. I don't come to argue. I don't come for a self-pity party. I just come to let you know Rev is on here and y'all talking about some problems that I got. So why not announce that? If we don't communicate, you never know who nobody is. But I yield, and I love everybody on here. I love your opinions of me and everything, period. I don't hate on nobody, Marvell. I don't. I don't care if you had if you hit the lottery, that last lottery for $1 billion-something, and you didn't share a nickel with Rev, I wouldn't be mad at you. I'd be like, why not? But I wouldn't be mad. Because I know a lot of people got a lot of money, and they could have pulled me out of the dirt with this limo. I'm trying to make it a community thing now. Because I've had them just for me for 13 years. Let me buy my limo.
You said you're going to yield, man. You're going to yield or what? You just use the word
My bad. My bad. Gone.
Yeah. Hey, let me share something. Let me share something right quick. And I heard it earlier, and I just want to get an opinion on this. I was told by a very wise person that it takes years to make friends. That makes sense?
100%.
It takes years to make
it.
So all this friend me on Facebook and all that junk, it's ridiculous to me.
Yeah. I know.
You know, you're not my friend.
Exactly.
You're not my friend. And so it becomes, I wrote a little while back, I used to write a lot about these kind of subjects, and I wrote about friendship in regard to, or relationships, how to be able to assess what type of relationship you have with someone so that you won't burden them with higher expectations than they might even be willing or capable of giving. You have to do an assessment, right, of who's in your circle and what is fair to anticipate from them. And that's work. Just because I like you, I'm not going to ignore everything that you might be a shortcoming or ignore everything that might not be working on our behalf as a body just because I like you and pretend like everything else is okay. Do we have to do screening, right, and categorize until friendship becomes real, like when we had that T.D. Jakes presentation where he said a confidant, that's a friend. That's somebody that you can share whatever it is going on with you, and know that they're going to give you the best they have, and they're going to support you in whatever decision you make. Right? That's the confidant. That's not easy to acquire.
I just recommend that.
Mm-hmm.
Who was that? Was that you, Rev? Was that you,
Rev? No, I think it was Michelle. I was about to say amen at the same time.
That's Queen Amina.
Okay.
And you know who gave me those words, those same words, Marvell? Baba Shaka. He gave me them same words at the age of 28.
So, you know, it gets kind of important. Like, see, we're building right now, T.D. Jakes talked about the confidant. Then he talked about the constituency. The constituency is when you have people who have a similar vision or a same vision, and because of that vision, they come together. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So right now, we're building our constituency. And some of them are moving toward becoming confidants, because when Rev and RRR had the misgiving, and they talked it through. They moved from constituency closer to being confidants, right? Because they're communicating regularly, and they find solace in each other's input. But right now we're in a constituency stage, which is a good stage, where we're learning how to work together to get a common goal, and at the same time, we're learning about each other and finding is what we like about each other. Because, you know, a lot of people that I work with, I don't particularly like, but that's not the important thing. There's some people that I work with that is like, when we get through what we're doing, good, holler at you, and I'm out their face, and I'm in my vehicle. With my rentals rolled up, ready to roll. We took care of that, so that's over with. And now all that other stuff, I ain't ready for that. I'm just ready for what we came to get done. And that's okay. That's okay. Because we're going to have to work through a whole bunch of emotional challenges. And all of this stuff about the trauma, it's real. I hope y'all don't ignore it. It's real. The trauma that we've experienced has an ill effect on a lot of our perspectives, a lot of our decisions, and a lot of our emotions. So we don't got to work, just got to keep on willing away at it. We just got to keep on willing away at it, folks. We just got to keep on doing it. And that's why I like this platform. That's why I like this platform. Because we mix it up. We stir it up in here. And before it's over with, like the time when we had this dispute, and then by the time it was over with, everybody was singing at the end. We sang ourselves out of this, singing, "Wake up, everybody," right? So that's the type of result that we're seeking each time. We're gonna fairway through all of the challenges as best we can. But if we don't get to the end of the challenge, we're gonna stop it, and we're gonna pay homage to our good spirit and our unity up until this point, because we're building unity. We're not united, but we're building it, y'all. And it looks good to me.
Brother Marvell.
Sir.
Brother Marvell.
Yes.
Okay, so this is Brother Tim. I'm in my car. Just now getting out of the, want to give another report that Miss Camilla will be on. On Tuesday, they asked what day would be good for her to come on to speak to the people and answer questions. And so I just got a text. I was in the courthouse, but I got a text saying that Tuesday, anywhere from 9 to 11, that would be fine for her to come on and be able to speak. That is the young lady, one of the spearheads of the reparations. Want to thank Julius McIntyre for hooking this up for us. He works at the Capitol. He's my nephew, and he made this happen, so got to give him a shout-out. But I also want to thank our brothers for lifting Brother Johnny up in prayer, man. He got all his cases dismissed. He went back before the courts with different counties. They was laughing when they was talking about, because the DA said, when I looked at Johnny's past and his criminal record, it went from city to city, and I said, no way am I going to get this guy a pass to do anything. But after reading what he does in the community and after reading letters from different people supporting him in the work that he does, and after reading that he has had a reading class with Dr. Shaka Muhammad at the Sojourner Truth for our young folks to feel alive, these folks, hey, it was so beautiful. The DA got up and shook Johnny's hand, and about five or six people cried. When we walked outside, there was two people I know that was in the courtroom, and they stepped out, and they said, they was crying. They said, hey, Brother Tim, I thought that was you in there. When the guy said, you three from the men's healing circle, that's what made it known that that was you. It was a young lady named Monica, and she's trying to get a certificate of rehabilitation. And so we said to her that God is on your side, and you're doing the community work, so you should too be released from your old habits and old ways because you're a new creature in Christ. And for that, I just want to say to all of our people, thank you for the prayers. Thank you for the support. Thank you for the letters. And thank you, thank you, thank you. With that being said, I'm going to visit a youngster at Kennedy High School and see if I can support him. With that being said, I'll pass the mic.
I see
right
my
on.
Brother. I see.
Amen.
Amen.
Right on. That's what we talking about. You heard it in the backdrop. If he was standing there by himself in the courtroom, he would have to have an extremely powerful personal presentation to get the response that he got. But he did. He had support and unity in his support. And that was seen, felt, and responded to. That's what we're talking about. This is a prime example of what it is we can anticipate when we're on one accord and operating in the spirit of righteousness and representing those things that make things better for other people, not just ourselves. So congratulations, Johnny. Congratulations. And I knew his dossier. I remember I had a situation where I was getting ready to work for a youth organization. It's called CCAP, Cuyahoga County Advocate Program, in Cleveland, Ohio. And I had gotten good reviews from working with young people prior to that, but I'm working for the county now, or getting ready to interview for the county. And the guy told me, his name was Darnay Cheeks. He said, I gotta run a background check on you, right? And I said, oh, okay. So he came, when I came back for the interview, he said, I got your record. And he had, you know how you ever seen a piece of paper where you fold it, you fold it, you fold it, you fold it. It might look like one little, like a check size piece of paper, look like a check or something, but it's rolled up, folded, 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 folded. So he said, I got your record. He had the one piece, and it looked like just one check-sized piece of paper, and then he did his hand, shook it, and it fluttered all the way down to the floor. And he said, but you know what? I'm going to work with you. He said, you got a record. He said, I ain't never seen a record like this before. He said, but I trust in your spirit and what you come to do and what you have done, and I'm going to work with you. And I worked with them until that we were doing so good that another big agency came and absorbed the agency. And then they wouldn't go in the inner city. The big agency come and they took over, and they wouldn't go. They had people, we were going in the inner city, working with the youth in the inner city. They took it over, but they were scared to go down in the inner city. So they kept about three or four certain people that were in our organization to go down in the inner city. And they had caseloads of 30, 40 kids because they were scared to go down there. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about where the redemption occurred or where the turnaround, we have turnarounds, right? We have places where people go and they turn around. And we have places where people are on the verge of their turnaround, and we can encourage them. We have people that don't need to turn around. We got people been doing this all through their life. We need to honor them, too. We need to honor everybody that's pouring into our situation to make things better for us and get past all of the personality part. Principle over personality. The principle is that if we don't do what they did today, we won't see what they saw today. That's the principle. The personality parts, we got to work through, y'all. The envy parts, we got to work through that. The hesitations and the limitations and the what-ifs and all that stuff, we just got to work through it. Got to push through it and get to the nucleus of the thing. There's no greater patriots in this country than American blacks. No greater patriots anywhere than the patriotism we've shown to this country. I'll yield.
Hey, I say, I'm driving, listening to y'all, and I love y'all, man. Listen here. This show right here is second to none, because we have people from all over calling and pouring out their hearts and getting an understanding of who we are as a people and where we need to go as a people to bring a brighter day to our people. Oh, y'all didn't hear what I said. But I want you to know that it is because of each and every one of y'all, every one of y'all, with your cry, plead, with your offering, with you and your dedication and commitment. That's why we're here. That's why we do what we do on this show. This show, man, has taught me a lot in the last 4 months. And I've been on this show 11 years. I started November 15th. 2012. Nobody would get on for a minute. They didn't understand what the show was about. And then I just start making reality the reason to be on this show. Not to highlight, not to brag, not to talk shit, not to down nobody, but to bring reality from the streets of Sacramento and across the world to radio, where radio meets the street. Well, we talk about things that we go through, that we see, that we know need to be changed. And so, I'm overjoyed, man, with the process of how we got to where we at, man. I wouldn't have never met Double R if Mark don't tell him to call this show. I wouldn't have met Bishop Williams, who we going to see. I wouldn't have met some of these people that are on here. And I'll be glad when we can sit down and break bread and understand that God is the author of all things. And he has given us the will to live and to do better. With that being said, I'm One Gone. This is the Wise Words from One Gone Show. And man, our host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson, is one hell of a host. Ashe.
Ashe, Ashe.
Hey, hey, Rev, what happened to your Ashe?
Hey, my brother,
hey,
Marvell.
We gonna be. Yes, ma'am.
I was on mute.
I was actually trying to get my guys Real Talk TV up and post this thing, but you intervened me, so I guess that wasn't meant to be right now.
Okay,
all right.
Hold on.
Shade
Rod. Yeah, okay, man. I was just kidding with you. Yeah. Rod was midstream, though. Go ahead, Rod.
I would like to walk my talk. My talk. Juneteenth celebration with a black space healing in Havana, Cuba. I can gift one ground package. The ground package is 5 days of accommodation with some breakfast meals, the entire program, and the entire program is for healing. Juneteenth celebration. Understand what Juneteenth was about? It was about economic, a black space healing. Let's come together and heal. I'm calling for 7 generations into the future for Black Wall Street. I can give one man, and I need a brother to show up for these young men that I'm trying to convene to give them some knowledge, some support, and to let them know your path don't have to be my path, and whatever path you own, I'm here to support you in. I need elders. I need men giving the staff to younger men. It's a rite of passage. So, but you have to do your own plane fare, and you have to get a passport and a visa. Hook into me. This is what I've been waiting. Spirit told me last year, put a deposit down for somebody who's going to need it, who can't afford to do it. So this, hearing this and being in on this, Spirit is saying to me, the person that needs to be in that spot will come to you. So I'm putting it out there. I have a spot for a brother so he can mentor, identify, and connect with more young men so we can bring our – I'm 74 years old. These kids are our future. And I need all my brothers and sisters helping me to – help them to understand what their assignment is. So I say, my brother Marvell, I'm proud of you. I am proud of all the brothers in the men's healing circle, because Baba Shaka told me about it a long time ago. And I'm just now getting to that space and that point in time where I can connect and reach in. And I am so grateful. I am so grateful that I have an opportunity to bless someone and share this out. Because guess what? They'll be helping you to do what I feel, what I see as my goal and my mission. So I do need your help, and I reserve the spot for you to help me complete my mission.
Date and time.
Juneteenth celebration, June 13th through June 20th. And June 18th is Father's Day, and we are upholding and I'm uplifting the men. I'm from a male family. I'm an only girl, so all I know is men and boys. I have 6 sons, and I know what a black man's struggle was from 1954 until today, because all my black male relatives, fathers, uncles, they went through it. They went through the shit, of the white man and breaking up our families and doing all these things and putting them in prison. My uncles went to jail and did the time for the younger ones so the younger ones' lives wouldn't be ruined. I saw that. I experienced it. I experienced them trying to kill my uncles. Some of my uncles were black Muslim. They spoke out. I'm sorry. My emotions are coming to the top. I just want to walk my talk.
Okay, so,
Ashe.
Okay, but Ashe, on that. But listen, on the Father's Day, you say you're going to honor that. What, you going to get a bunch of ties and sweaters?
Are you moving it, my baby? No. I'm calling for them seeds. I need them seeds. I need them black man seeds. I need them black man seeds into the future. I got the women are bringing the eggs, the men are bringing the seeds. I need us to come together because I'm calling for 7 generations of healthy, thriving, wealthy black people, young princes and young princesses, to be the kings and the queens that we need for our race. Our numbers are diminishing. I don't know if y'all know that or understand that. But if you look at the data and the research, our population and our voting block has diminished. What I saw on the news this past weekend was the East Indians, the Sikh. Sacramento has the largest population of Sikh Hindu people outside of India. Ooh, and they got a serious voting block. I need 7 generations into the future.
That's knowledge. I'm trying to tell you,
I'm so overwhelmed. I'm learning more now than I could, and this is for all of us. When we're in our 30s and our 40s, we're trying to raise them families and keep our mouth shut and get that check. I'm retired. My kids are grown. My husband's passed on as an ancestor. I have no bounds. I have no restraints. I'm going to tell it like he I is.
Tell
and
it.
I'm going to let
Capital
all
letter.
Of you know, I cannot complete my race without you. I am not going to transition and ascend before I do what I'm supposed to do, and I can't do it without you.
Right on. Double R. I hear you. I hear you, Double R.
No, Double R was on mute. You didn't hear me.
Okay, who was that? Somebody was trying to say something.
No, I just said praise God. That's it.
Okay. My bad. I
want to ask the young sister there if you could take my number down, or I can get it from Marvell or whichever way that goes, the loop.
I can take it now. And thank you for the young shout-out because I think I'm young. I want y'all to know. The mind is willing,
young.
But the body ain't going to be able. So
better say that
help
again.
Me run my race.
Better say that again. My number is
916-842.
Okay.
Yeah. 842.
Oh, you are here?
I'm in
South Carolina. Hey, excuse me. I'll text it to you.
All right.
Wow,
baby,
I'll text it to you.
He's already there. Okay.
Yeah, I'll text it to you. Yeah, because, you know, that's how you lock it in, man. You know, all that writing down and stuff like that stuff gets lost. If I text it to her, it's locked in. She'll get it.
I get it, but this way, everybody that's on that list for your 50,000 viewers, they can have my phone number. I don't care who calls my phone.
You want to do it like that?
Yeah.
Right,
I'll announce every time y'all call me. When y'all call my name, I'll be like, this is Rev, 916-842-8052. Check me out on God's Real Talk TV. Go on, y'all. That'll be me every
morning.
You're
talking too fast for an old woman.
916. I always pump them brakes. I got brake fluid. but yeah. But Mr. Marvell will text you my number there, young queen. And since you're in Sacramento, we can have a snack in the back of my limo. I won't drive it no more than a block because it ain't insured. But if you want to come out and hang out with Rev, I'm always available for an ear of knowledge. You will know that.
All right. We will connect, my brother.
All right. Peace.
Thank you. Peace, I say.
I say. Can't we all just get along? Somebody talk. I get nervous when it's quiet. It's radio station. We'll be singing
okay,
loud and dancing.
Yeah, pardon me.
There you go.
I just got a call from Sean Connolly.
John?
I
thought about to say Sean John.
Sean. You know Sean. You know Sean.
I know Sean P. Diddy. I didn't know who that Sean was.
I'm talking about Sean. Who was that? Sherman? Something about P. Diddy?
No, I'm talking about Sean.
Okay, yeah, well, you know Sean. He has a tree of life.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, right. He just called me, and I dubbed out for a minute to keep field this call. There's some people, I don't know if it's emergency or not, so I crossed over.
to get his call. He just wanted me to send some information to him, but he told me to say one of the things that he inserted about the topic. He said, "What's the topic?" I said, "Well, it's about us. How? Why is it that we struggle to work together and to communicate?" He said, "Told me to tell y'all, it's Jim Crow thinking, whatever that means to you."
But
didn't Rodney King come back around and say, "Can we all just get along?" Rodney King came and spoke over that.
Rodney King. Okay, well, what was that? Come on.
I got a great movie script for "Can We All Get Along?" Just putting it out there. Great one. Something that's bringing us together.
All right.
Okay.
All right. I want to see the paperwork, Rev. You can just keep on throwing it out there, but I need to see it in writing.
If I give somebody my... Okay. Man, I am a writer. I will write it down in 5 minutes. We just need to come together. I'd rather tell you in your ear so you can't run away with my paper.
Okay. Well, see, there you go with that apprehension thing.
I'm joking.
Yeah, okay. Who was that dubbed in, though? Somebody I shade and wanted to speak. Who was that?
No, double R. I agree that Jim Crow, man. That's what it is. That's what it is. That's what's affecting us now. See, hit it on the head.
Who
is
that?
Jim Crow. It's double R right here.
Oh, that's
right,
double R. Yeah. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. Jim Crow thinking. That's what he said.
Jim Crow.
Got to deal with it. Got to deal with it. It ain't just something that we declare and accept. It's something that's being declared. If we agree, then we have to dissect it, trisect it, and deal with it, and get it out of the system. That's what we have to do now. Now that we all agree. We got to do the research about the Jim Crow thought process and the Jim Crow behavior and the Jim Crow effect that it has on us, and we got to work our way through the impact of that. So I'm glad that came up, and I'm glad we got a lot of people agreeing, because I'm going to look up Jim Crow after this program and find out what are the particulars about it that would linger on into the 21st century?
I got that for you, my brother. I did the research.
Doctor,
say something.
Yeah, it's hate each other. You got the red against the blue, the old against the young, the light against the dark.
It's the judgment.
That's just how it is.
The judgment is
the
biggest thing on this planet.
You know, but we
got to
understand this: Jim Crow stuff don't never stop with us. It's affecting us today. You know what I'm saying?
It's the
poor hate the rich.
It's the devil spirit. They got to do Jim Crow.
Let's get some order, y'all. Let's get some order.
No, you just can't get it.
hey, man, can I finish, man?
It's a business model.
Yeah, let go. Double R go. Go. Let double R finish.
Can I finish?
Finish it.
Yes, please.
Yeah, Jim Crow is when the light skin hate the dark, the old hate the young, the rich hate the poor, whatever. Now it's the red against the blue, the have against the have not. That's why we can't get along. You know what I'm saying? So it's like communicating. Now, nobody want to talk to nobody unless they got what they got. You know? Don't nobody want to talk to nobody because of this, that. You know, people with, you know, the post-traumatic slave syndrome. The sister hit it earlier. I yield.
That factor is in many, many cultures got that issue. We just got it at the tail end of it.
Roz did the research. She got a research report. Come on, Roz, with the research report.
It's a business model. Jim Crow was a business model. It's all a business model. Somebody has to be on the bottom for the ones at the top to succeed. We were ultimately at the bottom. Now the new bottom, you know who the new bottom of the pyramid is? All the immigrants.
We still at the bottom.
One moment, please.
They come out here getting a check in 2 months, 3 months. They getting a check in 3 months. I mean, 30 days.
One moment, please. It's a business model. It's the Europeans are the ones getting the check. The immigrants from Central America and South America are the ones that are being demeaned. They are the ones that are bearing the brunt of this now. They ain't getting a check. They getting their babies taken away from them at the border. But all of that means nothing because America's European business model is what sent them people here. The economic conditions at their homeland is bad. Who wants to leave home? Nobody. But the United States and Europe and their economic model of doing business has raped these people's land, has taken their property from them. The indigenous people have been decimated. It's a business model. And until we stop giving shade and cover to all this other stuff as the reason for why we are here today, will never come together. I would challenge everybody on this call, look up the recipe for making biscuits and pie dough. Make some biscuits or some pie dough over the weekend, and we're going to talk about it on Monday, because until you understand the recipe and the process, making them that pie dough, it don't look like it's going to be nothing. Making them biscuits, it don't look like it's going to be nothing. But it's only three ingredients. But if you follow the recipe and the process, you end up with biscuits, end up with pie dough. It comes together. So understand, it's not your fault. It's a business model. We're being pimped. And just understand, and it's not our fault. Forgive yourself. Forgive your mama. Forgive your daddy, because that's where all this starts from. Child abandonment. I've been a CPS rescue parent for I don't know how many years. And each and one, every one of those children want to know, where is my mama? Where is my daddy? How come they didn't come back and get me? And it shapes their behavior as an adult, and it determines the quality of the relationships that they have as an adult, whether it's their mate or, just like Marvell said, their friend, their whatever. It's
okay,
a business model.
Right. And that's, in closing, that's the one that's something to ponder, that this is a design, and the business design has kept us in the throes of being the hub for everything. We're going to have to end this conversation, but let's not end our thinking and end our relationship growing in this process. You guys have a wonderful weekend, and look to see you Monday.
Peace.
Text me that number. Text me the number.